I'd like to welcome you along to our meeting here in for Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church this Lord's Day evening. We're glad again to welcome the Reverend Paul Hanna to the pulpit. Our brother's no stranger to the folks, and we are glad to have him to preach the Word of God. And we trust that those that are tuning in on Facebook will continue to tune in and to hear the Lord's servant as he preaches. But before he comes to lead the rest of the service, we're going to sing a hymn. It's the hymn, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. And the words will be on the screen. And just join in as we worship the Lord.
Today. At this stage of our meeting, we'd like to extend a welcome myself. It's good that you're able to join with us and to watch along in the services. But can I ask you, please, wherever you might be at this time, whether you be in your own home or elsewhere, If you could please just fill your heart with us. Let us unite our hearts, please, as we come before the throne of grace in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank thee for the means that allows us even the Sabbath morning to meet around the television screen or the computer screen or the tablet screen in such a format as this. Lord, we would love to be back in our churches again. We'd love to be sitting here in the pews. But Lord, we do thank thee for the means that allows us to gather together in our own homes and to worship in this manner. So do bless, do undertake, do outpour thy blessed Holy Spirit upon this congregation, be it in and around the Crossgar area. We pray for special help, even as we read the Word of God together, as we meditate upon Scripture together. I pray, Lord, for thy special help, the Lord undertake, in thy precious and holy name we do ask. Amen. If I could please ask you again to turn to the Word of God. We want to read a portion together from the New Testament Scriptures. In fact, from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, please. It's toward the end of your New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5. We want to consider some of these words together. Remember, it's 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, the Revelation. It's that close to the end of your New Testament Scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll start from the first verse, the opening verse of that great chapter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, to whom also an elder, this is of course Peter, the apostle, the one who was so close to the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking as moved of God to do in the first person. Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And here's the instruction. Feed the flock. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear. Of course, here we have a reference, a direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only that, of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, think of it in that light. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger. So that, the former, the first four verses, a word to the elder. But now a word to the younger. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that he had suffered a while, make ye perfect. And that word simply means, as we know it, perfect, but also holds the sense of completeness or fullness. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Do him, and again the reference, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's referenced right down throughout this chapter and indeed through this book, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We do pray the Lord might bless just the reading of His own inspired word in our presence just now. We're just going to hand back over to the Reverend Dean. He's going to bring the announcements, plus perhaps another piece of worship, another hymn as well. Thank you, Mr. Dean.
Well, again, we would like to thank the Reverend Hannah for coming and leading the meeting. We pray that God will bless the Lord's servant as he labours for him both today and in the incoming days. Now, just to remind you of some announcements. First of all, our prayer meeting is on Thursday at 8 o'clock. The Reverend Dean will be the preacher at that meeting, and we encourage God's people to come and pray and to seek the face of the Lord. There is a presbytery prayer meeting by Zoom on the 27th of February. Two prayer sessions at 10 and 2. We will give you details of that as we go along, or let us know if you would like details and you haven't got them. There have been hundreds of people who have been joining in these prayer meetings, and we encourage you to join in, and it's good to be able to take part. When I say there are hundreds of people, they are broken down into different rooms of about 20 or so, and so it's a little bit more intimate as you pray. But come and join with us at that prayer meeting, and we'd love to see you there. Just to remind you also, the meeting's next Lord's Day, 10 o'clock is the FPC Kids Sunday School. 11:30 a.m. is the morning service, and 7 p.m. is the evening meeting, and I'll be the preacher in the Lord's will. Now, this morning we mentioned about the preparation that we're making for going back to church. The committee have made a new risk assessment. We just want to remind you again of the 2 meters social distancing, the face coverings for those that do not have a medical reason not to. We are looking too for the church to be filled from the front or from the wall, and we'd ask you please if you could cooperate in all of those matters, and we're praying that we'll be able to get back to church in the not too distant future. But again, we welcome the Reverend Hannah amongst us. As I say, he's no stranger, but we pray that God will bless the Lord's servant as he comes to preach the word just now. But before he comes, we're going to sing another hymn. It's the hymn, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. The words will be on your screen, but straight after, the Reverend Hannah will come to bring God's word to your hearts.
Please. Thank you.
passage of scripture that we read together earlier, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1 through to 11, has been something that has been impressed upon my heart and upon my mind, especially this week. I would like to direct your attention, just for a few moments together, to those words that are found for us there throughout the whole chapter, but especially as we hone upon them from the verse marked 7. We'll read it together again, please. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. With God's word open before us, let us still ourselves again briefly, just for a moment, as we come before the throne of heavenly grace in prayer. Father, we do thank thee for such instruction, such command in scripture, that tells us not merely to carry our own burdens about all the time, but rather these beautiful words that lie before us today. These beautiful words of command, of how we're to cast all our care, all our burdens, all our woes upon the one who bore them all to Calvary Center Cross. So bless us now. We'll pray for each and every individual gathered in front of their whatever step they have to receive this means of media. Do bless. It is for thy glory alone we do plead. Help us now, we pray, as the preacher is weak. Do draw near in our time of need. Amen. You know, experts in the field of statistics and demographics, in fact, world demographics to be particular about it, tell us that the world population reached last year, it's ever and always increasing as you may know, but it reached a staggering 7.84 billion people by April of last year. That is an awful lot of individuals. Hard for us to get our hands around such staggering numbers, such staggering statistics. That is 7.84 thousand million people. And as I thought about that, as I considered those numbers, I thought about the one extraordinary thing about the fact that every single one of those numbers, 7.84 billion people, is the fact that each and every one of us are individuals. In fact, to go farther than that, to go and say this, that each and every one of us are different in our own right. But there are certain things. There are particular things that every one of us do, in fact, have in common with each other. One of the things that we have in common with each other is the fact that certainly everyone that I've come in contact with is that every single one of us have our difficulties and every single one of us has our burdens to bear. I was just relating to a brother in Christ just this, maybe a week ago or less, of something that happened to me a number of years ago. I was maybe second year in Bible college. I was in my old working clothes. I had the Jeep and trailer, the same Jeep and trailer that I run about with today. And I had to go to a particular builder's yard not too far from my own home to get particular blocks and particular things for a wee project that I was involved in. Well, I drove into the yard, I paid for it, I got the chip, I had to go to another yard to pick up the materials. I remember it well. Even all those years ago, I was told to go to this yard, and you'll know who you're looking for. It's the man in the forklift. His description was given to me, and there he was, just as described. Hard-looking man. 3 days stubble. Cigarette hanging out of his mouth. The sort of a boy that you looked like when you looked at him, that nothing would have bothered him. And I got talking to that man. Turned out he played rugby, as I did. We knew a lot of people in common and all the rest of it. And he got chatting to me, and he just suddenly changed the conversation. And he asked me a question. He said, "What are you doing with yourself now? What are you doing? Are you a builder, or what do you do?" Never met the man before. I began to tell that man what I was doing, that the Lord had called me into Bible college, and I was studying for the Christian ministry and so on. And right before my eyes, as I spoke, that man changed before my eyes. He just opened up and began to tell me about his cares, about his woes, particular things about his life that I can't go into right now. And from that moment, that was the day, for me at least, that the penny dropped with me that every single one of us have troubles and struggles and problems that we have to deal with. The penny drops. And indeed, every individual that I've ever met from that day to this, I have remarked how those individuals, and I'm thinking of all my years through Bible College, my year and final year as an assistant there in Lisburn to the Reverend Thomas Martin, and through my years out of college and the 4 years or so that I spent laboring for the Lord in East Belfast, and every single second since, no matter who we meet, they have something that they're struggling with, they have something that they're carrying. Some burden. Think of our text just now. What does the Lord say through this man who carried this inspired word to our eyes? I believe this is inspired. Literally, God breathed scripture. Remember, every word of God is pure. It's all here for a reason. Verse 7, our text, where we're commanded, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. One notable actor from America said this. Just an actor. But he said this through his own experience. He said, never underestimate the pain of a person. Because in all honesty, think of this. Everyone is struggling. Just some are better at hiding it than others. Over this past year, we've been forced to get used to wearing a mask. But let me tell you, folks, and you know it. In your heart of hearts, you know it. Before I say it, you know it, that we, every one of us, have been wearing a mask a lot longer than a year. Someone else said this, stop pretending things are okay whenever they're clearly not. Why? So we can pray for each other and know that we're not the only one who struggles. Someone else said this. Struggles are required in order to survive in life. Because in order to stand up, you've got to know what falling down is like. I remember watching a program once. A program, a university program on human psychology. Remember it well. About this particular young lady, and she had a problem that affected every part, every area of her life because of a particular phobia that she had. Whenever she was a toddler, you see, many, many years previous to when this program was shot, whenever she was a toddler, she was violently sick. And from that time, through her whole childhood and into her adult life, she was scared of doing it again. Scared. Terrified, in fact, of throwing it up. It completely destroyed her life. She missed important key events in her life. She missed her sister's wedding, her granddad's funeral, things like that. Things were getting worse and worse. Until it got to the point whenever she started to lose support of her family. In fact, this whole team of experts and psychologists who were assigned to her, but there came one day, a turning point, whenever she was told and whenever she grasped it, that the body uses this mechanism. You see, God so designed us this way, that we can actually eject something that's harming us. And whenever she grasped that truth, the fear, the thing that almost completely destroyed her life, she was able to let go of that fear. You see, there's so many people out there in the world today without the Savior, without the Lord, without the one who is at the center of this verse, without the one who is the one who careth for us. Look at our text again. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want us to think today about those words. And I want them not just to go over our head. How many messages we come to. How many times we come to the open page of Scripture. And we maybe get our feet wet in it. But we don't totally immerse ourselves in it. You think about the man who gave us these words, under God. You think about the apostle. You think about this individual, Simon Peter. There's much said in the Word of God about this man. You think about the insights, the experience of the apostle throughout these words. In fact, throughout these two epistles that we have, First and Second Peter were obviously, their title, their name suggests, they were written by Simon Peter, the great apostle, the one who is almost always to the fore. And yet it was through his own experience that he writes these words. I want us to think about Peter for a few moments. Just a few moments, just to get a grasp of the type of the man he was, because I fear this happens too much. That very often we downplay such certain individuals. We think of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. We often play her down in Protestantism. We often do that with Peter as well, but very often we see him as the prominent, the forward individual, this man who really was a special man, loved by the Savior. And yet how many times he spoke out of turn. How many times he did that and said that and thought that indeed, which he should not have thought. Does that not apply to me and to you if we're honest? You see, I want us to think about this man, and in fact I want us to think about some of the experiences that he had throughout his life. Because in Peter, in the man that gave us these words, from the storehouse of his own experience, from this man we have one of the most remarkable men that ever lived. He was a poor man, didn't have much money or anything like that. His partner, James and John, they would have been well-to-do, certainly better to do than what he was. He didn't have much money. He didn't have much education for that matter either. In fact, oftentimes in the scriptures, the gospels, we find out how he was actually reproached for the fact that he didn't have any learning. His only, and I say this with a caveat, his only educational training was under the Lord Jesus Christ. But what training it was. Better than what the best of money could have bought. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was a married man. Oh yes, there are many quarters that will downplay that. Peter was a married man. He had a wife and a family to take care of. Not only before, but after he was converted as well. He was a fisherman. He was skilled in what he did. The Sea of Galilee, of course, been famous for his multitude of fishes. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could preach a sermon on this. In fact, I've preached many sermons on this theme. Of how even the very first time we come across Peter on the sacred page, the Lord Jesus Christ singled in on him and made a beeline for that man. That's another message for another day. You see, Christ knew what was in Peter. He knew what would make him tick. He knew the potential that this individual had. And while often rebuking Peter, he needed that often rebuked. Is that not the same with you and I? He nevertheless ranked Peter very highly. In fact, it is evident from these sources of information that we do have about this individual through the Gospels that he was a plain, straightforward, a sincere, yes, very often an impulsive, but a sincere, curious individual. In fact, we can't help noticing as we read the scriptures, even a casual read of the scriptures, that Peter asked more, at least more of his questions are recorded in scripture. He asked more things and more questions than the rest of the disciples put together, the rest of the apostles. And he very often just blurts it straight out. Lord, what do you mean by the parable of the blind guides? These are just a few examples. Lord, where are you going to? Others might have wondered. He asked it. Why can't I follow you now, Lord? Lord, look at the temple. Look at these stones. So many things, so many questions. In fact, there's other occasions where he can't ask a question himself, but he nudges another. He nudges John, in the case of the Lord's Supper, to ask the question that he wanted answered. In fact, how often it is today that a great many people lack knowledge for not asking questions. But a wise man never needs to ask the same question twice. And Peter learned much at the feet of Jesus. Is that not where this statement comes from? That is our text today. From the experience of the one who had many cares, many woes. Verse 7 of our is our text. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, I think we're starting to get a little bit of a picture of what this man Peter was like. Yes, he was one. We're ignoring the elephant in the room here, aren't we? Because Peter was the one who had his darkest moments. He knew, and let me end speaking to someone in this category today, he knew what it was to live the misery and the life of the backslider. Oh, you might look at Peter and say, it wasn't for long. But let me tell you this, he went out and wept bitterly, isn't that what we read of Peter? He knew what it was to follow the Lord afar off. Perhaps this response to the so-called pandemic that we're going through today has caused you to get far away from God. Especially as the churches are shut and we've no means or less means or reduced means to be able to get together with God's people and to come out to the house of God. Maybe you find yourself slipping away. It's not that God has left you, but rather it's that you have left him. Was that not Peter's experience? Remember in Peter's experience how we read in Scripture of how he warmed himself at the fire of the ungodly. Of how he denied the Lord. In fact, he denied that he ever knew the Savior. How he even used swear words. He swore like a trooper to convince those that he had nothing to do with Christ. In fact, we read very little that's given to us in all four Gospels. Very often we read the same account in the three of the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in all four Gospels, we read of how Peter failed the Lord. That's how important the Holy Spirit gives us this information. So important. Matthew 26, and Mark 14, Luke 22, John 18, they all record different angles and aspects of that very sad chapter in the life of this man. Yet, and this is the key, yet this man Peter knew the Lord's forgiveness. He most certainly knew the grace of God. Think of our text again. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, believer today, and unsaved today as well for that matter, I thank God daily for his grace and mercy, that he should reach down so far and pick up so little. Maybe you're a stranger to God's grace. Maybe you know nothing of that. Maybe you've heard other believers, other individuals talk about that. But to you, personally, it's just stories. Let me recommend my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I was reading that proverb this morning. And that is the Lord. Would you not come to him right now? Would you not think about this very command that's given here? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, very often we get a message or we get a word from someone, but because of who it is, because of the individual whom it's from, and we're thinking here about the source of this word, it was Peter, but because of who brings us that word, that challenge, that verse, or perhaps what it is, it means nothing, it's hollow. Because you know it's not coming from a genuine place. Well, it was, it most certainly was, when we're thinking about Peter. Oh yes, that means a lot, the insight of the apostle. But let's think further. Let's delve into these words a little further. Because here we have not only the insight of the apostle, but the instruction to the believer. You see, Peter writes these words to us under inspiration. I've said that before. And it bears repetition because that is one of the attacks of the devil. That this book, the book from which I'm preaching from, God's word, is not inspired. You might say that it contains God's Word. Let me put it further. This not only contains God's Word, this is the Word of God from cover to cover. What words we have here. Very often we quote these words just as maybe a light way. We'll look for a verse, or we look for something to put in the bottom of a card or a message to someone, to send to someone who maybe is in great need, to somebody who is carrying a grievous burden, and we can forget it as quickly as we send it. May God forgive us for treating His Word that way. Over this past week and these past few days, events and our own family situation have brought me to weigh heavily and put all my weight upon this verse and to obey it even that little bit more. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What an instruction to the child of God today. You see, this only makes up part of the instruction that's given to us here, really from the start of the chapter. That's why, in fact, I read from verse 1. Verse 1 and verse 2, Paul gives this word, this instruction to the elders. Look at verse 2. Feed the flock of God. What an instruction. Verse 5, he gives a further instruction related to this, the other side of the coin, if you like, to the younger Christian in submission. He tells them here to submit yourselves unto the elder. Verse 5, be subject one to another. Verse 5, be clothed with humility, because he knew, Peter knew from his own experience, where pride can get you. I often use the phrase, because I often think about it, you should never look down on someone unless you're helping them up. How true that is. Peter was one who knew what it was to be overcome at times with pride, and then events have a habit of turning things in their heads. Oh yes, he called for humility there in verse 6. But in verse 7, Peter commands us, in the words of our text, to cast. In fact, I'll go further than that. Notice the ending of that first word there that I'm thinking of. Not only to cast, but casting all your care upon Him. Because verse 6 and 7 have instructions that we are, as the children of the Lord, we are to obey. Look at that first word. Just dwell on that first word for a moment. Why does it not say, cast all your care upon Him? Why does it have that ending that it does? That's important. We've quoted that verse from Proverbs earlier, that every word of God is pure. And I'll go farther than that. Not only every word, but every part of a word. Here in the original language, the Greek, this ending has an important connotation for us. And it gives us in the translation here this word, casting. It's more than just to cast once. It's more than just to do it in one experience. Maybe even at the start of the year, or the start of the month, or the start of the week, or the start of the day. But rather these last three words, because there's a vast difference between to cast and to be casting, because casting is continuous. Is there not a lesson here for me, for you, for us? Even as we're muddling our way through coronavirus, is there not a word for us as a church, as a body of believers, as the elders, as the oversight, as verse 1 makes it clear, that we're to be continually casting all our care upon Him, because He is the one who cares for us. Let me challenge you, as I challenge myself, let me challenge you, do we do this? Do you do this? Do I do this? Do we do this? Do we put it this way? And it all boils down to this point. Do we trust Him enough to leave all our burdens at His feet? How often in the place of prayer we offload and we leave everything at the feet of Jesus. We leave everything there at the throne of grace. We leave it all. And just about the time we say amen, do we lift it all back and put it back where it was again? May God forgive us for treating these commands of Scripture like this. But may we do as Peter had learned to do through the experience that he had at the feet of Jesus, through the experience that he had subsequent to that, taught by the Holy Spirit of God to cast, in the continual sense, to be casting all our care, all his care, all your care, all my care upon him. Do we do this? I challenge myself there because I don't do this as I ought to. I worry about things. I take that burden upon myself rather than obeying this direct command from the Lord himself through this man, his servant Peter, that we should be as his church, casting all our care upon him. Oh yes, I think there's something here for every child of God and every backslider and every individual that's never yet come to the cross. Surely there's a word here for you. We'll better move on because the time is. We've thought about the insight of the apostle and the instruction to the believer, but what about the identity of the carer? Surely that's central to all that we do in the church. Think of it this way, the church of Jesus Christ, because this is the central theme. He is the central theme. The central theme of this text is no different from the central theme of this church. The central theme of this text is as it is right throughout the New Testament, right throughout the Gospels, right throughout the Bible, from the book of Genesis, right through to the last chapter, the 22nd chapter of the book of the Revelation. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I can do nothing else today in the services or in my life as a minister of Jesus Christ, than to set my Savior before you in all his glory, that's what I will do. That's why I've been called to this office. That's why I'm here today preaching on behalf of Crossgar. Why is that? To bring Christ to the center where he ought to be. Yes, the identity of the carer here. In fact, when we think of it and count the words and look at it and study it, the central word of our text is him. Casting all your care. Yes, it's about you. It's about your care. But then right when we get to the heart of our text, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. Let me tell you this, folks. He's at the heart of every problem, every struggle that you've ever faced or ever will. Do we know that? Do we trust in him as we ought to? He is the central one, not only of this text, but of our lives. Our text brings us to Christ today. I don't know what struggle you're going through, but he knows. I don't know what issues you will face tomorrow, or face yesterday, or are facing right now, but we are commanded here in this wonderful verse that is 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. We're commanded to be casting all your care, all our care, all my care, all your care upon him, because he careth for you. In fact, focus, think of it. Dwell upon those final words from our text just now for a moment. Because he cares for you. My mind is drawn immediately to that verse. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the occasion, he was sleeping in the hindermost part of the ship, whenever the wind and the waves beat against the side of the ship, and the accusation was made to the Savior, carest thou not that we perish? I think sometimes we're like that. We mightn't say it. We mightn't put it in as blunt a term as that, but we sometimes, somehow, blame the Savior, accuse the Savior of not caring for us. Surely this verse, surely 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 puts that thought to bed right away. Look at the verse again. Casting all your care upon him, for he, the Lord, careth for you. Is there not a word there for you today? No matter what trouble you're going through, is there not a word for you to ease that burden? Is there not a word there to ease my burden? Because I know on the authority of Holy Scripture that God cares for me. As I think about that, my mind is drawn immediately to the most famous and best known verse in the whole of the New Testament. John chapter 3 verse 16. In fact, we printed it out in a big banner. We stuck it up on the wall, the outside wall, in our church there in Mount Marion a couple of years ago, because there's so many thousands of people that walk down past, not so much now with COVID, but walk down past to go to the rugby matches. What did we decide to put on that wall? None other than John chapter 3 verse 16. And it speaks about how much he cared for us. Think about our text again. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Does John 3, not 16, does it not tell us something of the care that he had for us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And let me tell you this, folks. Christ willingly left the splendor of heaven. He willingly set it all aside that he might come to earth in a sinful condition. Well, of course, he knew no sin. But my sin, in fact, the scriptures tell us how he was made sin. My sins were put upon him in the tree. That's how much he cared for me. The perfect, the spotless Son of God, the one who willingly left the splendor of heaven and came all the way to this sin-cursed earth. Yes, he did many things, but he was set, as we read in Scripture, his face as a flint toward the cross. Why was that? Because in dying upon the cross of Calvary, he provided a way that we might go free. Surely that care, that love, that devotion that's spoken of here, of how he careth for you, for me, surely it's shown on the cross. And yet we turn away. We want nothing to do with him. Many say no. Will you end this broadcast today? Because you have a decision to make. If you're not saved, if you're a backslider, you have a decision to make. Will you not come to him now? You know you can be saved where you sit. Did you realize that? Whether you're in your car, whether you're in your living room, your sitting room, your kitchen, I don't know where it actually, don't care where you are, but you can be saved where you sit. You don't have to be. We want to be in church. We want to be in these pews. But you don't have to be in church in order to get converted, to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and your life. You can be saved where you sit right now. Would you not do that very thing? We'll end with our text again. Casting all your care upon him, for he, the Lord Jesus, careth for you. I trust the Lord himself might bless what has been said today in your home, that the God of this world, the devil, might not be able to steal away the good seed that is the word of God. That's what this is. This verse is that good seed. If I can be of any help to you in any way, make contact. Reverend Paul Fannin. You can find me on Facebook or anywhere else. Speak to Mr. Dean, any of the elders of the church. I'm sure, I know that any one of them will be glad to help you. Will you not come this very hour? We're going to close our time in prayer, but we thank you very much for attending, for coming along, tuning in. We would remind you about the service this evening. If you could tune in for that again, it certainly would be appreciated. Father, we do thank thee for thy goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for these instructions dotted throughout Scripture and indeed in this place where thou hast called us to tonight, that remind us that we're to continually, not just once, not just at one point in the past, but continually to be casting all our cares, our burdens, our woes upon thee. So do bless. Bless every family that are tuned in. Bless every individual. It is for thy glory and thy glory alone we do pray. Amen.